Good morning, everybody. I will not discuss everything in domain of radial velocities. I will not speak at all on problem of transit, follow-up, Rossiter, and so on. And I will only discuss a few things about few radial velocities you make. I will not repeat that existing very from a long time survey, like the leak survey, the Corrali survey, and so on, because I'm sure that everybody of you knows very well this kind of thing. But just to show what is happening more recently. So I will do a short overview, because I asked few people to send me some slide of what is going on in the Institute. Then after, I will discuss mostly three domains. It's specifically what is going on in the domain of low mass stars. After, I will devote most of the talk on the problem of the population of super Earth and Neptune recently discovered. And we already have start to have good statistical properties for this population. And open a little bit the perspective to go still further to lower mass object. So let's start with one of this survey. It's a survey done by people with art at La Silla Observatory and concentrated on to search for gaseous giant planet orbiting metal deficient object. And in fact, after a few years, only three giant planets have been discovered, part of more than 100 FGK stars. And you see the three blue, I don't know if I have a pointer, probably, yes. Yes, you see that the metallicity of the three giant planets discovered was all in the region of -0.5. And we have not found any giant planet orbiting more metal-deficient object. So this is, and this program continue, but with a different focus to search for Neptune and super Earth, because we will see later that probably we have a chance to find many objects here at different metallicities. So another program also done with ARP is to try to extend an extended volume limited sample. We already have some volume limited sample done at LIC or with Corrali or with ARP with up to 50 parsec. And now we have extended to 57 parsec, but it's quite a lot, it's about 1,000 stars. So and now we are continuing this program, but with not so good precision, let's say 2-3 meters per second. Not focused on low mass object. So you have a huge effort done in Asia, in different countries, and you have in Japan, you have in China, in Korea, and Turkey more recently. And it's a network of several 2 meter class telescope or larger to search for intermediate mass and evolved stars. So, and I believe, unhappily, I will not have time to discuss, but I believe quite a lot of interesting results are coming from this kind of survey. Well, we have not noticed, but the total number of the star survey is quite large. It's more than 1,000. I received 3 slides from GIST, Jiang Ji, and it's evident because he has several big experiments. One with this interferometer to have a multiplex measurement of 60 objects to more than 100 objects in the range of 8 to 14th magnitude. And already this instrument got few first results. But he had the project to extend this to 3 sites, in addition to the US, to Spain, and China. And evidently with the goal to have still a much larger overview of to search for planet. And finally, I will mention his last project in the domain of near infrared here, and to with a laser control interferometer, and mostly target to to M-Dwarf object and young stars, and with the goal to have 2 meters per second and for all this object in 20 minutes. And so you see, I expect when is the cadency of the conference here is one every 7 years, you will have a lot of new planets in the time. So you have also a strong interest on focused on evolved stars carried out on HET by Alex Wolfshine and collaborators, and you can see here a few of the discoveries done by Alex, and I know that he will report here, so I will not discuss more than here. And I will skip this one because Jeff in a few minutes will give much more information on the search for low mass planet to be done at Keck. So if we start a little bit more in detail on the one survey done by Xavier Bonfils at with ARS and on 3.6 at La Silla with a sample of something like 400 M dwarfs closer than 20 parsec, and I have no time to discuss all what the discoveries here. The rate of discoveries is going very well with a lot of multiple system, and for example, one is very interesting is the Gliese favored one with one very low mass planet here, less than 2 Earth mass, and another one very interesting with 7 times the mass of the Earth, but I believe it's the first to be really well located in the habitable zone here. And this program is still continuing to Earth in the coming years. So here, this is the typical example of the 4 planetary system around with this very low mass planet here. And okay, you can see the very clean periodogram we can have when we observe this kind of object. The typical RMS is about 1 meter per second, so it's relatively clean. But M-Dwarf is a very difficult subject because you see this Gliese object here exhibit a very nice double signature of 2 planets a few years ago, one with few days, 5 days, something like this, and another one with 35 days. So at the beginning, we were quite sure that it was a double planet, multi-planet system. But later on, we realized that photometry, okay, you have the velocities, but you have the calcium, H-alpha, and photometry, everything is variable at 35 days. So this is not a planet, but it looks really like a Keplerian, but it is not a planet. We only have one single planet, RMS 0.8 meters per second, so it's quite good measurements. But and this is not the unique example. You have Gliese 176 is quite similar to that one. This is a plot to be published quite soon by Xavier Bonfils, where you have here the mass and the function of the flux received by the planet, normalized to the flux received by the Earth. And here you have flux of Venus, the flux of Mars, and you see Gliese 581d is here. And so you see below 10 times the mass of the Earth, you have quite few objects, and evidently, I'm sure in the next few years, a lot of interest will be coming. And also you can notice that because it's a planet discovered by microlensing here, evidently extending the range of this kind of population. Another strange properties of M-Dwarf's survey. Here you have the number of planet measured in the program of Bonfils as a function of the mass of the planet. Of the star. And you see that here are the planets discovered. And they are with corresponding to stars more massive than 0.3. So we see, oh, very interesting new feature of the planets orbiting low mass stars. But maybe not. Because if you are looking what are the magnitude of the stars where you have planets, they are all the brightest part of the sample. So maybe this is only biased because you have more photons like this. So be careful when you are doing statistics. So the main part of my talk is the problem of the program we have done on the last 6 years to search for low mass planet. So it's a lot of nights. It's more than 250 nights on the 3.6 meter telescope. So we start from a sample of 400 stars selected from the Corallie survey. Then after, with better measurement of the chromospheric activity, we have selected 250 stars. And then we have looked for the smallest radiosity amplitude. So the goal of, one of the goals of this kind of survey is to try to get constraints. Here you have a two-dimensional map produced by Ida and Lin of the mass versus semi-major axis of the simulation done by this team. And you see you have three parameters in the simulation, and you have sometimes you have some features where you cannot expect here planet or here, and this desert moved in so. And so I believe that we are in position maybe not to constrain the full domain because this is long period, but at least to add constraint and to see if we can put some constraint for people doing this kind of model of formation. So during this survey at La Silla, already 4 years ago, one of the very first systems arriving was the trio of Neptune, with three Neptune-type planets with a period that between 8 and 6 months here. And this was the first complex system with low mass object. But in fact, this was really the tip of of this kind of population. And for example, now we are analyzing the full set of data. It's a lot of data. And this is one typical example of a first class of object. It's one long period object. Here, in fact, you have two. You have one long, very long, one here intermediate, and another one here. And this, you have a low mass object. It's only seven times the mass of the Earth, plus a Jupiter-type planet with longer, and maybe something more longer, and metal rich. So this kind of very hierarchical system, low mass inner planet, massive distant object, are quite frequent. This is a typical example. Another one here, you have 23 times the mass of the Earth and a long drift here. So this is also quite typical. And you please note that the global RMS is less than 1 meter per second. And it's not mean of measurement, it's single measurement. And here, for example, and this is the second class of object we have, is system with several low mass planets on very tight orbit. 4 days, 9 days, 20 days, and every of these are super, so less than 10 times the mass of the Earth. And again, despite the very large number of observations, it's smaller than 1A. But you see that it's quite complex. You need a lot of measurement to be sure that what is going on. And you see that we have also a drift. So something on a much longer orbit. So small planet everywhere. We start to discover a lot of objects here, and microlensing, if you take into account the probability to detect this object, also they are correspond to a very rich population of objects at larger distance. So, as I said before, the difficulty is the fact that a priori you don't know what kind of period you have to explore, so to plan the observation. So you have to do a lot of observations. And you have to always to take into account that you have some kind of intrinsic jitter with noise variable between 0.5 and 2 meters per second. So, and then after you have to see if you have one planet, two planet, drift, three planet, four planet, five planet, yes, five planet, and so. So this is the difficulty of this kind of search. And if we look on the prediction of these people doing simulation of Koch accretion models, in fact, you have the fraction of planet versus the mass. Jupiter will be someplace here. So this is a bump of gas giant planet. And then the prediction that you should have a population of in the region of Jupiter. And then after this population, but still out of the possibility to be measured today. Do we have the possibility to measure this population first? In fact, if we are concentrated on the mass less than 30 times the mass of the Earth and period less than something like 100 days, in fact, adding different tests to see the significance of this discovery, in fact, we have quite a lot. And this is already called a movie from 1 year, and now we try to update it because we have reanalyzed all the data done on the last 6 years, and it's terrible, it's awful, because everything is, no, when I say everything, is at least 50%. And this is a system with 5 planets, it's one single object here. So at least we have more than 30%, I would say probably 50% of objects in this range of mass and period. So this is nice, but it's awful for the observer, but you have to. We never ask enough nights to do this. And so just a very quick look, so you cannot notice things, of few new candidates, still not added. This is a triple system with, not too bad measurements. You see, this is a typical situation with a lot of system with 2 planets, bing, bong, and very eccentric. And you see 7 days, 45 days, very eccentric. Got a dream for dynamicists. This can probably you have quite a lot of interaction. Single planets, yes, we have sometimes single planets. Take note that most of them are, a lot of them are below 10 times the mass of the Earth. So all these objects are super Earths or Neptunes. Here, some system with 1 planet plus a drift. And again, or 2 planets with a drift, and so on. This is extremely premature. But you see that, this is the depression of eccentricity versus period for the gas giant planet, and this is what we have for different class of mass. It's very uncertain because you know that the eccentricity is not so easy to constrain when you have a very low signal. So, but it looks like we have quite a lot of eccentricity for this system. Wow, yes. One specific point that if you are looking gas giant planet, you have quite typical example of resonances. You have the 2-2-1 for this object, this 876. You have a 3-2-2 for this object here, and 3-2-1 here. So you see that it's not a rule for every multiple system with gas giant planet. And if you are looking for the same characteristic for Neptune and super Earth system, where you have a lot of multiplicity, in fact, this is a cumulative number of P2 over P1. In fact, it's not really, we don't have very clear case of resonance. So the most important characteristic of this system like Gliese, not HD40307, it's not resonance. They are out of resonance. So can we have some global properties? So if you have the histogram of the planet discovered as a function of the logarithm of the mass, so you have the big bump of the gas giant planet, but we start to see something rising here. And so this is the reason why we are concentrated our effort. And this is the preliminary result. here it's something like this. Is it, okay, here we are completely biased by the detection of very low mass planet, so don't pay attention. But you see that we have a real, this is 40 Earth mass, and you have a strong grating in the most difficult part, because evidently it's much easier to detect a planet here compared to here. And this is about 100 planets. So we still have a lot to analyze. So it's a lot of low mass objects. That's maybe this corresponds to this bump here. So again, for the distribution of period, as is very, very well known, you have the logarithmic scale for the period, you have the number of objects, and you have this hot Jupiter region of between 3 to 5 days. And after you have a gap with a longer period. And if you are looking at a preliminary result here for the low mass object here, the below 13 times the mass of the Earth, so you see that we have a completely different story. You don't have the peak at 3-5 days here. But you have a peak at 20 days or something like this. So I don't know what is the answer, why it is like this, but it's certainly different. So metallicity. You have here the very well-known correlation between frequency of Gaussian planet, normal stars of the field with a distribution of metallicity here, and this is a distribution for Gaussian planet. And you have this clear shift of about a factor 2.3 dex. If you are looking for low mass planet, these are the two, this is the mean of the stars in the field. This is the mean for the mode of the Gaussian planet here. And these are the planet less than 20 times the mass of the Earth is shifted compared to Gaussian planet. And if you are looking for the super Earth, less than 10 times the mass of the Earth, you have a completely flat distribution of the metallicity. So you see that, again, we have a lot to learn studying low mass objects to constrain the models. So this is, again, a preliminary plot of the object we have discovered in the ARP survey. This is a mass versus a semi-major axis. Evidently, this domain is heavily biased, large separation, low amplitude is quite evidently impossible or difficult to be detected. But you see that all this object is in a very well-defined survey. So if you do not discuss this part for the time being because it's due to the strong bias here, just look below about 0.2 AU where we are not too biased. That you see, we have quite a few of Gaussian planet. It's rare object, but most of the object have masses less than 20 times the mass of the Earth. So, the maximum of the distribution of the Gaussian planet was due to everybody having searched for planet. I don't know what is a global sample behind this survey, but it could be, let's say, 3,000 stars. But here, it's a much smaller sample because the ARP survey. So you have to correct for this normalization of the size of the sample. And if you correct, let's say, by a factor 8, you have this huge peak corresponding to the, it should be, this is less biased than this. So you see that these are the Gaussian planet, and these are the low mass population. Do we have a chance to go a little bit further down to search for low mass object? Yes, and I believe the stars do not collaborate a lot because you have all the P mode of the acoustic mode. And if you have simulation of the radio velocity effect due to the PMO, depending on the integration time, you see that what you have measured with ARP, that in fact that if you integrate, let's say, 20 minutes, you are already less than 0.2 meters per second. So the rule is simple. You have to integrate long enough to eliminate these kind of things. And obviously, you have to choose very well what kind of star it is, because you see that the amplitude is quite depending from alpha, sun, and so on. So you have to choose your targets. But nature is worse, because sometimes you have another source of noise coming from granulation. And it's a similar amplitude, but it's much lower frequency. So you have to do a different strategy of measurement to try to erase, to diminish the influence of these things, so to take multi-exposure in the night. And now we have done some experiment for some stars where we have quite a lot of measurement and trying to do some binning. And this is only binning on for measurement one per day. And you see, for example, for this object, if you are binning four nights together, you are less than 0.5 or 0.6. But if you are binning a period of 10 days, you are going down to 0.3 meters per second. So already we have the possibility to go much below half meter per second if we are looking for low mass, long period planet, evidently, not for short period. And this is a simulation done by Monsieur Dumisque, Kavi Dumisque, in his PhD, starting for real data from ARP for a star with -4.9 atmospheric activity. And if you are doing three measurements per night, each three nights, meaning one per day, one measurement per day, and this corresponds to a simulation of a planet with a 2.5 Earth mass and a period of 200 days orbiting a K-star. So it is quite in the middle of the habitable zone. If you adopt a strategy to the binning every binning of 10 days, you see that we start to see something clear. And if you are looking at the phase diagram you can have for this kind of strategy, three measurements per night, granulation, three nights, binning 10 nights, and for this same kind of object. In fact, you can easily detect this kind of object quite in the middle of the habitable zone. So today already, we have the possibility to search it. And now we have a program carried out at La Silla on 10 bright stars selected to be very quiet, very close to the sun. And we adopt this kind of strategy. And in fact, we have, I will not discuss this detectability diagram, but yes. And we already know that we are at the level of half meter per second. So for these things. And the next step will be to improve ARPS, to have maybe a laser comb for the calibration unit and better scrambling and so on. And so the next step is to go down to maybe 0.1 meter per second, but evidently always with a good strategy to diminish the acoustic granulation and things like this. So I believe you know that between 15 years ago, 51 peg, today less than 2 Earth mass, yes, here. So it's about a factor of 100 here. Why we can go a little bit further. So be optimistic. Thank you.
Excellent. And thank you, Michel, for staying exactly on time.
Yes.
We open up the floor to questions. Yeah.
Beautiful stuff. It seems to me that there are a large number of candidates for these small planets compared to the number that you actually are able to get and have been able to identify now, compared to what was going on 10 years ago with giant planets. And I'm wondering if this signifies that with the smaller planets, they're typically multi-planets with comparable RV signatures, or if the star spots could be problems and you have to work at that, or it's just telescope time or whatever.
Yes. In fact, just before Christmas, Christoph Lovis did some small improvement in the software of ARMS. It's not drastic. It's, let's say we are going from 1 meter per second to 0.8 or something like this. So, but it's not bad to save 20% or something like this. And so we reduce all the data, and now we are in the process to look. But after you have the problem, if you have 250 targets with several thousand of measurements, and you start to search with a genetic algorithm with one planet plus a drift, two planet plus a drift, three planet, it's awfully, awfully boring. And then after you have to do the test statistical if we need to add another one or not. So we are in this kind of process here. But this, we have an automatic program doing all this trial systematically for so, and the reason why always I put preliminary on this diagram, because we hope to be in position in, let's say, 2 months to have the final, final. It's never final, but. Because yes, I have to mention that we got this not negligible amount of nights, 250, on the last few years from ESO, but we now have a new program, but with the same targets, with Kadir PI, Stéphane Udry, and where we got 280 nights on the next 4 years. So we probably will double the number of measurements. So it's true that some of what I showed is this diagram, is these plots, the system are absolutely certain. But after a certain amount, you start to see if we had a new planet, is it real or not? And what is the probability, the false alarm probability, and so on and so on. So this game will be never finished.
I've always worried about the possibility that planets near in can really induce activity in an old star, since the convection zones are so thin. And of course, that's a bias in all of these samples, which is you rule out active stars. So could you tell us a little bit about what you see as the future of ever being able to do this type of science with stars that might be showing activity?
Yeah, I believe other people have to do this kind of measurements. No. Because it's a problem. When you are addressing this kind of stars, it's awful because you never know what you are measuring, because you have a lot of scatter, and it's not a periodic signal. And just look at a paper by Didier Queloz when he analyzed Coho 7b. It's awful because it's relatively active stars, so you have a lot of variability of the velocity and photometry with different time scale, and then after the embedded signal due to the transit is quite small compared to the thing. Evidently, you know the period, so this helps. If not, we will never discover this kind of object. So it's only because you have the transit that we have been able to measure the amplitude of the velocity and measure the mass of Coho 7.
Thank you. Michelle, it's great to see all these discoveries. And you're talking about getting precisions down to half a meter second or three-tenths of a meter per second. What sorts of magnitudes do you need from your stars? Are you talking about 10th magnitude stars or 13th, or where are you?
I would say most of the high precision sample, so the sample where we are looking for this kind of object, is brighter than 9. It's okay, we can do for a little bit find the object, but after you start to need to integrate longer and so. And we have enough targets in the range of object brighter than 9. So.
Thank you.
Hi.
For some of your multi-planet systems, you have several planets whose periods are quite different and whose masses are quite different, but they are different in a way to conspire to make their amplitudes almost identical. And in particular, that's the case for HD 40307. Does that worry you?
No, maybe. These are the easiest objects to be discovered, because when you have a strong ratio, for example, Gliese 581 is not the case. You have Gliese as a planet B, was 15 times the mass of the Earth. It was first discovered by Xavier Bonfils 4 years ago. And then after we have discovered two other objects with a smaller, and only after a few years, we have discovered the planet with less than twice the mass of the Earth. No, I mean, it's not the case for every object. No. HD 40307, I believe it's one specific, but not typical.
This minimum in the planetary mass function between the giant planets and the small mass planets, how solid is it? I mean, it isn't just an observation bias in the sense you had all the other programs at the high masses and you focus so much on the small mass that we kind of forget those in the middle, because it's a very important constraint.
No. You have two different parts of the question. Do we believe if the gap in the domain of observation is real? Or we can ask if the gap is real in your model, and you are better placed to answer than me. No. On the side of observation, no doubt at all. Absolutely. Because an object with a mass of, let's say, 40 times the mass of the Earth is easy to be detected compared to an object with 10 times the mass of the Earth or 5 times the time of the Earth. So the gap is real, absolutely real. Yes.
Everyone that does some kind of core accretion will get something like that. Therefore, it's important.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions?
The question was about by Christophe Mordazini, having done some of this simulation.
Question. I'd like to ask one if I could. Can you speculate on doing these sorts of things from space? There's a lot of initiatives suggesting that one can do this. What do you think the advantages, disadvantages, other than the cost are?
Of going to space? Mm-hmm. In the field of spectroscopy, I don't see the advantage.
No.
I don't see. Okay, if you have a lot of money, okay, maybe you can. No. What you can save from space is a changing of the thing. And it's true that if you are looking ARPS, working from several years, and you are looking what are the weak points. And in fact, we have the calibration is not bad at the level of 1 meter per second or maybe 0.5 meter per second, the thorium-argon, because we can correct for the aging of the LM and so on. But probably we can do better with the laser comb or with the Fabry-Perot. And it is what we are doing right now. And the second point is the scrambling. And this could be better from the space, because in the space you don't need to scramble. But you can have a much smaller fiber. So maybe the resolution could be achieved with a smaller spectrograph. And so maybe, but it's extremely, nevertheless, you need a lot of photons. So going to space, I prefer to have a lot of nights on a 3-4 meter class telescope. And it's much cheaper.
Is there any hope of seeing any of your planets in transit?
Yes, if we calculate the probability, in fact, we must observe the problem that from the ground we have no chance to detect this object. Because an object of, let's say, few Earth mass, 3, 4, 5 Earth mass, with a close orbit, cannot be detected orbiting a solar-type star from the ground. So you have to go with Spitzer, and we have a program with 100 hours of Spitzer to search for possible transit on this super Earth. And for example, Michael Gillon just submitted a paper and it was accepted on a null result of HD 403707. But you see that the sensitivity is perfectly able to readily to detect this kind of object if you are going in the space. But from the ground, okay, Neptune type, okay, maybe we can do it. But oh yes, it will be. It's a huge domain for the future. Is to search for the, because this population is so big that, and the period are so short for many of these. So we must have a lot of transit, but very small.
Another question? If not, let's thank Michel once again.
Excellent. I have to.